You are listening to My Art Broker Talks. My Art Broker connects buyers and sellers of blue chip prints and editions, specializing in original prints and multiples, in particular pop, contemporary, and urban art. Hosted by Charlotte Stewart.
I am very excited to introduce today Florence Whitaker, who I think is appearing for the very first time on the My Art Broker Talks podcast. Florence is our Banksy specialist and senior sales director at My Art Broker. Hi, Florence.
Hi, Charlotte. Great to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming. We have been talking for some time about doing a pod on Banksy. Obviously, a huge amount has happened in the last 3 years. And it's probably time now to readdress those sort of that narrative that's happened throughout the market. We were both in different places in 2020 when the Banksy market hit an all-time high. Tell me a little bit to start with about what that experience was like for you in the middle of the COVID pandemic.
So if I cast my mind back to 2020, we had such a specific set of global circumstances, the pandemic, because of the lockdowns, people actually being at home, the ability to kind of look at their walls and actually really sort of reassess what sort of pieces they actually wanted to kind of hang in their home. And I think the other thing, I mean, so many sort of cancelled holidays, so many cancelled plans, you know, potentially there was a little bit more disposable income. And I think people looked to the art market and specifically to Banksy to potentially purchase these works as, you know, one potentially as a kind of an asset, but also to have a wonderful piece hanging in their home at the time. So we saw these sort of two factors come together. And really, because of that, we really saw the demand and the value, therefore, of Banksy's works just, you know, skyrocket.
I think that's true. I think it was about being at home. I think what we noticed at My Art Broker at the time is that whilst the rest of the art market really, really struggled, you know, it struggled to hold evening sale auctions in a digital world. What was so perhaps, and tell me if you agree, what's so unique about the Banksy market is the ability, because of pest control, to authenticate artworks without the need to be in front of the artwork like you perhaps may need to with a Warhol or something with more age and a less strict way of proving authenticity. Would you agree with that?
I would completely agree with that. I think, you know, My Art Broker's success is probably as a direct correlation to how digitally able it was. You know, it's always been a kind of an online platform. It's always been a place that you've been able to see everything, you know, online. And so it really had that capability. And that's probably why it was so far ahead of many of the auction houses, many of the more traditional gallery structures, which just hadn't prepared themselves for this. And I think, You mentioning pest control, I think, is probably one of the most important things, because obviously when buying a Banksy artwork, the most important thing that people are looking for is that authentication, because obviously there have been so many fraudulent works circulating. Pest control really is the sort of holy grail of authenticity. So pest control's ability to be able to provide those certificates along with, let's say, you know, My Art Broker's online presence, those two things together has probably allowed that market really to soar.
I think so. And I think what was very exciting about that is that the ability to move artworks and the liquidity of the market at that time became really tangible. You know, the demand was at an all-time high. And, you know, the amazing stories that came out of clients during that period of time, particularly those that maybe bought something right back in the day, were then able to access not only the ability to sell it, but also the ability to understand the value of what they actually had. You know, the data that was provided, and this whole new education came into being online. How can I sell it? Where should I sell it? I think moving forward into obviously early 2021, we saw that incredible growth. I remember very vividly this feeling of things moving, you know, quite dramatically, sometimes from week to week. And then having, you know, towards the end of 2021, what we saw was, as we always do with a huge amount of demand, the supply picks up because people realize now might be a fantastic time to sell. And then the auction houses released these Banksy only sales. Obviously a lot was consigned into auction all at once. And, you know, as with auctions, they happen in a cycle. So works got pushed into auction and then held for a long period of time. And when something's moving as fast as the Banksy market was moving at that time, its supply can be a limitation. So what happened towards the end of 2021 and into the beginning of 2022?
I think it's worth bearing in mind, there aren't that many auction houses that are doing single artist sales. I mean, that is just really a showcase of how strong, let's say, that market was, but perhaps a sort of, you know, having too much of its own success. So we did see a bit of a market correction, and we saw, you know, we did see prices coming down. We saw that there were these crazy peaks in the pandemic, and we did see obviously a slowing of the prices. The market did correct, and there had to be a bit of a correction, because I think that the speed and the heights that it was going was unsustainable.
I think for us, watching the Banksy only sales hit the calendar constantly across all the auction houses, easy to see what was going to happen, which is a huge amount of supply. And what I think is interesting about that is that people still, and this is a fascinating conversation when it comes to my portfolio and data points and the combination of private and public sale data. But, you know, we have to remember that in the prints and multiples space, only 40% goes through public auction. So when you're seeing that pattern in public auction, you're really only seeing 40% of the market size. And what I thought was really interesting is the amount of private sales that were being done, both through us and also we know that, but you know, all the auction houses reported off the scale private sales during COVID pandemic for obvious reasons.
Absolutely.
How much do you think that 40% of the market played, that public auction part of the market played into the correction of the Banksy market?
Yeah, I think it played a huge amount. I think, you know, the art world is sort of slightly full of smoke and mirrors in some respects, and some people quite like to be kind of gatekeepers of that information. I mean, this is the sort of data, you know, obviously we have both private and public data, but, you know, people do look at auction data. So even though it is 40%, it's still a very, very important marker point for the market as a whole, because it is what everyone's going to be looking at.
Agreed. And I think that's what we're trying to produce in our data, is that plus the private sales valuation data. So, you know, when you're looking at the Banksy value on My Art Broker, you're seeing a combination of our own private valuation data against things that we are selling and things that we are valuing, as well as that mix of public data, which I think is a really important point. When we see a market like Banksy's where you know, things have happened in direct correlation with what's happening on the public market. As we move into 2023, we're halfway through 2023. How do we get there? Well, what trends have you seen in this year alone, and we can be relatively nuanced about this, which works in particular? Because something that I felt throughout the entire movement of the Banksy market was that there were, what happened when the market peaked was, it was actually, interestingly, it was memorabilia, it was paraphernalia involved, you know, from Banksy's exhibitions that suddenly skyrocketed, and it was unsigned prints that really in some cases went for perhaps above fair market value. But the kind of the heroes of Banksy's portfolio, let's talk about those, because in reality, those heroes, those most investable prints, haven't had that much volatility, because they are always going to have a special place in Banksy's output.
I think that's a really, really well-made point, because, you know, we saw some of the prices for unsigned pieces, you know, it's almost shocking to say some of what the prices were. Since that market correction, we have seen the Banksy market slightly segment between those works. The unsigned pieces really have come down quite significantly, probably because they were the most overinflated beforehand. And I think when we've seen this market correction, we've seen the pieces such as, you know, the really interesting APs, the really low edition numbers, and some of the very kind of more interesting colorways, of course, the hand finished pieces, you know, these really kind of hero pieces within his portfolio, they haven't changed a huge amount. And that is because, mm-hmm, when we're talking in simple supply and demand terms, there just aren't that many of them. And so because of that, you know, these are the iconic pieces. So the pieces that you will know as well, you know, Your Girl with Balloons, Lovers in the Air, you know, these are sort of iconic motifs that Banksy is so well known for. You know, Choose Your Weapons. These are the pieces that have your very limited edition. You know, some of them editions of just 10 or 25, particularly, for example, like Choose a Weapon in different kind of colorways. These are the works that we haven't really seen dip that much because, you know, there aren't that many. People aren't really selling them that often, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some interesting works there that, as I said, since the market correction, haven't moved a whole amount.
I think what's really interesting about what you're saying is that this is the nature of so many artists' portfolios, isn't it? If you can, to buy those works, to invest a little bit more into the iconic images of an artist's output. You see it with the Warhol market in particular, the Hockney market. There are pieces, there's, you know, Pools, there's Hockneys, there's Marilyn, there's the big set series that with matching numbers. You know, if you can, those, would you agree that those, when you're buying a work like that, there's a risk factor that's removed because these works have a certain kudos that cannot be removed by market fluctuation?
Yes, I mean, I think with all of these things, I don't have a crystal ball, so I'm not going to sort of predict the future with regards to sort of how much the prices will fluctuate up or down. That being said, you're absolutely right. I mean, when we're looking at sort of Banksy, I think there are a couple of pieces, like I mentioned, Girl with Balloon. Okay, that is, I mean, I think it's been voted numerous times the nation's favourite artwork.
More popular than the Queen, I believe.
Popular than the Queen, there we go. Exactly. So, you know, there are a couple of pieces and I think both the incredibly well-known ones, but also perhaps the rarer ones that you might not have heard of. So for example, at the moment, we have access to an incredible piece called Dumbo. So this was a piece that wasn't actually even released, you know, by Pictures on Walls to the public. It was released to private collectors. So this has never come to auction. It's actually rarely even seen in the private market as well. So we do have one of these pieces available. The reason something like this would be so special, and going back to what you're saying about, you know, mitigating some of the risks of sort of price fluctuation, you know, this piece is an edition of just 25. And it's actually been hand finished in watercolor. So it's been hand painted by Banksy on every single one of these editions, which makes it incredibly special and incredibly rare. Pieces like these don't circle around so much. You know, as I said, it's never been to auction. So there's not even sort of an idea of that public data of pricing or anything like that.
It's such an iconic work, isn't it? I mean, visually, it's incredibly exciting. Can you tell us the story behind it?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, Banksy, who's obviously the kind of hero of stunts and the stuntman, this was actually created during his New York residency in 2013. It was actually a still from a film he made. So during this residency, he decided to make an artwork every single day. And of one of these days, he made this film. And you sort of see these, you know, these soldiers and they're shooting something into the air and you see this thing falling. And the still from this film is the eventuality of what that is that falls. And it's actually Dumbo that's been shot out of the sky. And you've got these, you know, what look like sort of terrorist soldiers standing over this, you know, essentially the dead body of Dumbo. And it's another specific Banksy sort of message of anti-violence, of commentary of the war in Syria at the time. It's incredibly satirical, it's dark, but it's got that sort of slight edge of, you know, dark humor that Banksy is so well known for. It is both aesthetically like incredibly interesting. It's a commentary on social political circumstances at the time, which I think is fascinating. And obviously beautiful that you know, Banksy's actually hand finished with watercolor, which is so rare for all of these editions.
What does our data look like in terms of when something like that last went to public auction?
So for a piece like Dumbo that's actually never been to auction, people always sort of ask, you know, well, where do you price this? How do you kind of figure this one out? And so when it comes to something like working out what the value of this piece is, often we use comparables. That's the first kind of point of call that we can do. So other potentially very interesting limited edition prints, let's say something like Love Hurts. That's another really, really interesting AP edition, which is it actually comes from the heart balloon that Banksy did, which was his sort of take on the referendum at the time. Instead of vote leave, it was vote love. And instead of the O, it was the heart balloon. So, you know, it works like that, those sort of iconic works. It's kind of, we use those sort of comparables to try and find out where we think the market pricing would be for something like that.
So, you know, for perhaps the less initiated, let's just explain what we mean by AP when we talk about the Banksy market.
Yeah, when we say AP, so we usually mean artist proof. And with regards to Banksy, this usually means either a specific set of colorways, or perhaps AP could also, the artist proof could also extend to a smaller edition, which were essentially created at the beginning when Banksy was trialing different colors, potentially different sizes. And those were maybe that initial run before he said, you know, yes, I'm happy with that. And we go with the numbered edition. You have a smaller selection of APs. So you're literally artist proofs.
And then outside of the APs and the hand finished and what we call sort of special edition, what else would you, if you were a buyer coming into this market, what advice would you give maybe somebody who's coming for the first time into the Banksy market right now? What to look for?
Yeah, I think that's, I think it's all dependent, really. And I know that probably a lot of people do say this, but really, I would love to know the kind of pieces that they gravitate towards. I mean, you know, always, I think, is the first point of call, buy what you love. So what are the, you know, what are the pieces that you really resonate with? Is it something specific for, you know, because you've seen a piece on a wall, you know, a mural in real life, and you would like to try and get the print from that because it evokes a really special memory? Is there a specific kind of color or something that you gravitate towards? So I think that's always my first point of call when speaking with a client. I think the second thing is obviously which prints are performing well. You know, people, I think, always like to know that what they are buying has a value and hopefully keeps that value. And if not better, that value goes up over time. Mm-hmm. So there are definitely a couple of pieces that historically have performed really well and will continue, hopefully, to perform really well as well. And these are your kind of what I call iconic Banksy works, you know, the hero pieces from the portfolio. A lot of these pieces may be works that are incredibly well known for the mural pieces. So, for example, Lovers in the Air, that was a piece that was made incredibly famous for Banksy's work, obviously on the wall in Bethlehem. So works like that are always in demand. And I think it's really important that you're kind of, as I said, you're coupling both that pieces that you really love and resonate with, but also works that are incredibly popular. Because if you know, if you love them, someone else will do, which means usually someone else will potentially buy it from you in the future.
I think that's such good advice. And I think that's such a good starting point for people. Once I've chosen the work I want and I am dead set on acquiring it for all the reasons that you've mentioned, what are the sort of practical things that I need to know when I'm looking to source it? So, you know, I let's say I'm looking for a turquoise, choose your weapon. What do I need to ensure that the artwork that I'm going after has in order to be sure I'm making a good purchase?
Condition is really important when purchasing a Banksy. Condition actually is everything, really. So making sure that you've got a condition report or at least some really, really good images of the artwork. And the second thing is crucial is having its pest control certificate. So we might say sort of PCCOA, which is your pest control certificate of authenticity. And that is your certificate that will come from pest control, which is Banksy's authentication body. And what they do is produce a certificate with the title dimensions of the artwork and the edition number. And whether it's signed or not, all of that information will be laid out and you'll have that with your artwork. And it's really important that the piece that you have has that certificate alongside.
Once I've got my artwork, do I need to contact pest control again?
So it is up to you. I mean, pest control do have a ledger via having your pest control certificate. They also have a ledger of each owner of that artwork. So whilst it's not vital that you change it immediately, you may want to change it to your name over time. You can do that via the pest control website and do what we call a change of ownership.
And if I need to sell it, does it need to be in my ownership in order to get the best price?
In order to get the best price, yes. it does need to be in your ownership. However, as I said, it is not completely vital. And I do recommend that if you haven't done it, that you need to make sure that you've kept an incredibly good record of where you've purchased it from. Receipts, anything like that is all incredibly helpful.
And when I've got my artwork, I'm thrilled and I want to have it up on my wall.
Yeah.
Can I put it on my wall? Where should I put it? How do I make sure that once I own it, I'm looking after it?
Yeah, I think that's a question that we get asked actually a lot. And I would say, yes, you know, definitely put it on your wall. I mean, the wonderful thing about buying art, especially if you're looking at it both from, you know, a piece that you want to hang on your wall, but also as an investment, you know, unlike many other kind of, you know, passion asset classes, you can actually enjoy this one, you know, whilst you've got it. So why not hang it on your wall? That being said, there obviously are some measures that you need to take into consideration. That, as I said, when you're selling your work, condition is everything. It's the same, you know, when you've got it on your wall. So do make sure that when you do get it framed, it is in a conservation standard. So we mean acid-free mounts. If you're going to go for a mount, make sure that your framer is fully aware that you'd like it to a conservation standard with anti-UV glass, potentially anti-reflective if you'd like that. And that will just protect the longevity of your artwork.
Brilliant. And I'm sure everyone's aware that, as you know, as standard, when you buy something with us, you can have all that advice and we can make recommendations of people. Now, absolutely. Let's move on to the things we need to consider if we have a Banksy. Perhaps we bought it a long time ago. Perhaps we collected it during the last 3 years and are considering selling it. What are the first things that I need to consider when I'm considering selling my Banksy? From everything from data, where do I find out how much it's worth? How do I find out if it's authentic, if perhaps I've been gifted it? Where would you start?
So you have your Banksy work and, you know, you're thinking, okay, you know, I'm looking to see, you know, how much could I get from this? I don't know if I've got my pest control. Where did I get it from? You know, so many questions. And this is where we are here to help. What we offer at My Art Broker is a free valuation. So there's absolutely zero commitment to sell with us. But what we can do for you is give you a slight idea as to where your work sits within the market, what you might be able to achieve from a sale. Potentially, you know, let's say there might maybe some condition issues. I don't know how you've been storing it over the last sort of couple of years. We can also recommend potential treatments, maybe some restoration that might needed to be done if there's any sort of handling creases or things like that. But yes, with regards to evaluation, we offer a free, no obligation valuation. So you can sort of see what you might be able to achieve from a sale of your artwork, which is always a great place to start, because, you know, then you can determine, okay, maybe this is something I want to pursue. If it is, and we want to kind of go to the next steps, what we would do is we would obviously ask you for information about where you purchased the artwork. So provenance, do you have your pest control certificate or have you applied for it? How is the work currently sitting? What's the condition look like? Is it framed on your wall? Have you got it in storage? All these questions are really, really helpful for us to determine what we think that we might be able to try and achieve for you. And then from there, really, we have a very honest and open dialogue and see if it's something that might work for you and us as well.
And what if I haven't got my pest control? How does that work and how long does it take?
If you haven't got your pest control, I mean, the best time to apply for your pest control was probably yesterday. But if not, please do it today. So what you can do, you can go onto the website at pest control, and you upload images of your artwork, the edition number, the signature if it's got one, and obviously any other images that you think would be interesting of the artwork. Also provenance documents. So, you know, if you are the single only owner, you bought it directly from Pictures on Walls or at one of the Santa's Ghetto pop-ups, you know, do you have your receipts? Do you have images? Any kind of information that might be helpful as to where you got it from. The other thing is perhaps you got it from maybe from another gallery. All of this information, collate that and pop that into your pest control submission, and they should come back to you, although it does depend on what Banksy is up to. I know during this summer, for example, during the Cut and Run exhibition, they have obviously been, you know, slightly inundated with other works. It is taking at the moment between 6 months to 2 years. So the more information you can give them, the easier it makes their job to be. Hopefully the quicker you can get your certificate.
And what advice would you give to somebody who perhaps has had an offer from another seller, not us, because we won't sell it unless it's got a pest control certificate, that they can sell it without? What advice would you give that seller?
I think it'd be always be, you know, bear in mind who is looking to sell your work and why. I do think, you know, you're obviously going to be able to get a much better price if you have your pest control certificate of authenticity. So it is really worth waiting for that, because, you know, it does mean that you can command hopefully that slightly higher price for your artwork.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned one of my all-time favorites from the Banksy portfolio, which is Choose Your Weapon, a little earlier. You know, a series that comes in the most, I think the colorways chosen were phenomenal. And it's the reason why it has such popular appeal is because you can have it in all these incredible colorways. And of course, the message itself. Can we just dwell on that a little bit? Can you tell us a little bit about the market for that series, and perhaps, you know, whether there are certain colorways that are more important, and whether there are any special editions within it?
Yeah, I think that's it's also one of my favorites as well, Charlotte. I mean, you know, we've got from the Choose Your Weapon series, there are 15 different colorways. So unlike any other Banksy print, I think this is the most amount of different sort of varietals that you can get. That being said, they are still only an edition of 25 for each one. So we're not talking huge numbers here. You know, we are talking sort of very specific and quite rare colorways. Again, the question of price is a question of supply and demand. So, you know, there are some colorways that have been to auction quite a bit more. You know, we've seen them come up quite a lot. And generally those that, you know, we're seeing more and more at auction do tend to have a slightly lower price point. That's just because of the frequency. There are some super, super rare ones, which hardly ever come to market. And there's also a hand finished edition as well, which is really exciting, because this is where you have, it's actually a white background where you've got the masked figure and the dog, but instead of the, you know, the sort of blanked out dog, we've got the two spray can eyes on the sort of Keith Haring model of that dog. It's a really, really special piece. So, you know, there are these sort of very highly sought after pieces that rarely come to auction. When they do, they often come on very, very high prices. And obviously the very special hand finished edition as well.
Do we have any Choose Your Weapons available for immediate sale at the moment, Florence?
We do. So we have a couple of pieces. We've actually a super rare collection of 5 Choose Your Weapons, all in fantastic colorways, as well as a hand finished edition as well.
Oh, very, very exciting. And what's the difference in price between the colorways that we have available at the moment, and perhaps why?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. We have the lemon and the turquoise, so these beautiful, fresh, you know, vibrant colors, absolutely gorgeous. These are in the sort of low 100,000 to 120,000 sort of range. And then if we go sort of upwards to the, you know, the wonderful hand finished work, obviously commands a higher price. This has been had that extra layer of paint, you know, from Banksy's hand himself. And that ranges in the sort of 240 to 250,000 pound range.
And just talking about a few other of perhaps my favorites, but also, you know, some of the most investable series. I'm going to pick a few. There's obviously the rats. I mean, you can't beat a Banksy rat, can you? Can you talk to us a little bit about perhaps the most popular ones of those? If somebody's interested in acquiring a placard rat, which ones are potentially more popular in the market, potentially rarer? What would you suggest?
Banksy is sort of synonymous with the rat. And I think it's quite interesting, because I think it's almost the other way around as well. You know, the rat is something, it's this animal that we perceive to be sort of vermin and you know, sort of terrible, and he sort of heroes this sort of little guy, and you know, I kind of love it. It's sort of very sort of subversive, and it's just typically Banksy. You know, even at the Crude Oil show, there were sort of rats running around in his exhibition, so they go together. And so the rats really are, as you said, you know, some of the most sought after pieces. I think the placard rats, as you mentioned, you know, you've got sort of Welcome to Hell, you know, that's a fantastic piece. But, you know, maybe one of my favorites might be Gangster Rat. I think, again, it's just that sort of oxymoronic situation, you know, with the sort of baseball cap and listening to the boombox. And of course, Love Rat, you know, another piece that I think is probably a really sort of hero Banksy work. You've got the paintbrush, you've got the heart, you've got the rat. I mean, it's a monochromatic with that little kind of beautiful touch of red. Yeah, it's a fantastic piece.
They're so, what I think is really exciting about the rats is that they hark of Banksy like well before the press got hold of him, you know, and there's obviously, you know, people talk about Black the Rat and how actually, you know, he, you know, and then there's that one, whereas he was the original person to introduce the rat into graffiti art. And then, of course, there's that wonderful quote, which is, you know, good artists imitate, great artists steal, or something. Exactly. And I think if you want to get back to Banksy roots, you know, away from Girl with Balloon Image, which has been reproduced to an almost criminal level, yeah, in some cases tried to be proven by Banksy. You know, it's, if you want something that screams Banksy, but perhaps isn't as reproduced and is commercialized, I think that the rats are a really, really exciting series. I mean, the other ones that, from a kind of wall appeal point of view, there's obviously the ones that have less wall appeal, Toxic Mary, Napalm, you know, these are hard, they're hard prints to live with unless you're, you know, deeply involved in the story behind them. Some of the most popular, Stop and Search. Let's talk about Stop and Search for a moment. I mean, it's just, it's the print that people wants to have on their wall. You know, it's satirical, it's funny, it's pretty, you know, it's a pretty print. And I think, you know, it has a similar sort of, I suppose, Love Is in the Air equally has that sort of, it's nice to look at, but it says so much more.
Totally. I think it's a really interesting one. So I was lucky enough to go to Glasgow a couple of weekends ago to go and see the Cut and Run exhibition. Mm-hmm. And there was a quote that really stood out for me, which was just so typically Banksy. It was something along the lines of, Monet had light, Hockney had colour, Banksy, you know, himself, I had police response time. And it was just a brilliant way of sort of encapsulating exactly the kind of subject matter and that kind of anti-establishment sentiment that Banksy has, I think, throughout most of his artworks. And I think Stop and Search, he absolutely ridicules that very thing, you know, using Dorothy and Toto and her basket. As you said, it's a very aesthetically pleasing image. It's
the double take effect that Banksy's works have, you know, the same with Barcode and Laugh Now, you know, they're double takes. It's like, well, okay, I get it. And they're relatively easy to get. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why there's an enduring appeal, is they're not, you know, in the way that he wanted it to be. They're not, you don't have to have done a history of art degree to get what's going on in those. And that's not in any way a criticism. That is why they appeal so deeply to this marketplace and why they have a long term. And, you know, they're always relevant, aren't they? You know, we talk about that quite a lot in the Warhol market, how his prints mm-hmm. are still relevant today. We talk about Endangered Species being, you know, ahead of its time and Ladies and Gentlemen's portfolio. But actually, like, you can almost wake up any day of the week and look at a Banksy print and relate it to a news story.
Completely. You know, either it's the government getting it wrong. It's sort of...
Authorities getting it wrong.
You know, it's anti-authoritarian. It is...
Underdog oppression. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's the promotion of peace. You know, it's often very kind of, you know, obvious anti-violent sentiments.
That leads us really well into what affects the Banksy market and the ability for an action by Banksy out in the world, a piece of activism to really reinvigorate the market. And certainly, I think, you know, we should just touch on when the Ukrainian war hit. And, you know, a lot of us who follow Banksy very closely were like, where's Banksy? What's Banksy doing? Because Banksy will be doing something. You can always rest assured that Banksy is working on something that will draw attention to voices that need a level of promotion. So obviously landed in Ukraine and did some incredible street works, which have been by the most part preserved. And then quite shockingly, quite recently, quite out of the blue with his Cut and Run exhibition. What And also, just isn't he great at these little one-liners, these little titles, you know, all the way back to sort of Ghetto, War and Peace, now Cut and Run, the quote you talked about earlier. I mean, you know, he's the master of PR, really, isn't he? You know, he's just so good at that. So I think we know that there, you know, it comes in sort of moments where the market gets really, really excited by certain things. We certainly saw that back in 2018 with the shred at Sotheby's. And ever since then, it's been this sort of like wonderful, you know, sort of wake up in the morning and the only way to accredit something truly to Banksy is on his Instagram. And, you know, I remember those moments, like as sad as it sounds. I remember where I was at those particular moments when something happened. So he creates that real narrative throughout time of where he lands. So obviously with Cut and Run, just recently, and I think you were there last weekend. What now, Florence? What can we expect now without ever having a crystal ball? Where do you think the market will go? What do you think his next move will be? What do you think maybe is particularly unusual about Cut and Run as an exhibition?
As you said, you know, Banksy really is the art of the kind of stuntman. He's always heroed the little guy, you know, the kind of underdog. And I think we've seen that, as you said, throughout history, I guess maybe more recently to where we even started this podcast. I mean, if you think about the work that Banksy snuck up in the hospital, about the little boy playing with the nurse outfit, and he discarded Superman and Spider-Man in the bin.
And again, you know, he called it game changer. Like it's a package, isn't it? Like the words, the imagery, the story, the moment, the location is so, it's, I can't think of a moment when he's made a mistake.
I know. He's been on the right side of history throughout. And I think that is absolutely him fighting the cause for those that probably don't have the voice to do it themselves. You know, we've seen that in the refugee boat. We've seen that in the works in Ukraine. We've seen that in his, you know, messages against domestic violence for that Valentine's Day work that he did. You know, he's forever giving the voiceless a voice, as it were. And I think these stunts definitely have a direct correlation to sort of market uplift. I think people, when they get excited, you know, more and more people see it, more and more people talk about it. It's a buzz, makes the headlines, you know, almost always, and not just peripheral headlines. We're talking mainstream, you know, big headlines and often on the news. You know, the Cut and Run exhibition that happened this summer, I mean, that was announced almost out of the blue. People had no idea until it pretty much had started that weekend. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I was lucky enough to go up about 2 weekends ago. It was incredible. It was honestly the only thing that, honestly, I would say it left me feeling sort of quite like it was quite poignant. Like it felt like a sort of summary, almost like he'd organized his own retrospective. There was something about him. You know, you saw all the stencils out there. You saw him, you know, the tools that he might create to use them. You saw the workings of these pieces. You saw fantastic quotes from him, you know, all over the walls. And I don't know, there was, as I said, there was something very poignant about it. And that's a really good question. I mean, what is to come for Banksy? Is it going to be more of these big stunts? Is that going to be his last exhibition? Is that the last hurrah? I mean, who knows?
That's so interesting that I love the way you put that, like he's basically staged his own retrospective, because I was actually quite, I was quite suspicious. I was like, what, there's something else. Something else is afoot here, because Banksy has rarely done anything that doesn't directly benefit a charity, make a major statement in a moment of high debate. And I was like, something's happening. What's happening? And maybe it's still to come, or maybe absolutely. I mean, you know, the other thing is there's obviously been a lot of touring exhibitions by a lot of other people, unauthorized. You know, maybe this was his way of going, can we just stop? Here's the actual retrospective. You know, here's the actual story from me, because I'm damned if someone else is going to tell that story.
Absolutely. And there's no way that you're ever going to get any of your hands on my stencils. That's something that you're never going to be able to show. Yes. So that's only something that I can show, because it's something that I own. So it's interesting. I think it's fascinating. I mean, when you ask the question, what's to come, who knows? And I think that is the most amazing thing about Banksy, is that he pops up when you least expect it. You never know what he's going to do. And he just surprises and delights all the time.
And he always pops up just when you've slightly given up hope, you know, like he just waits a little bit longer. I mean, he's absolutely like a sort of the wonderful thing about him is he's the master showman, anonymous master showman. I mean, that's clever. It's very, very clever. Brilliant. Florence, thank you so much for today. I think we have covered a lot of ground. And obviously, if anybody has any questions, they can reach you directly at florence@myartbroker.com, where you'll be happy to talk even more about the Banksy market and all the considerations we have to make. Thank you, Florence.
Thank you so much for having me. I've absolutely loved it. And yes, please don't hesitate to get in touch if you have any questions. I'll be so happy to help.
Brilliant. Bye, everybody.
Bye.